Good morning and welcome, everyone. A couple of things. First of all, we're glad to have David and Joy and Ruth and Paul with us today. Looking forward to hearing the update on the missions to the Philippines. We pray for you guys often. Interestingly enough, Jody Hoagland, pastor just not far from here in a sister church, are hosting a missionary from the Philippines this morning. So his name's Barry, and I met him Thursday. And I don't know if you know, I don't know his last name, but anyway, thought that was very interesting. That just a mile or two from here. Also, most of you probably noticed we have a baptismal now, and portable, so we can move it around, take it down, put it up. First Sunday of November, we will be baptizing Atticus and Jonathan. So we're looking forward to that, and certainly hope you come be a part of that. Also, just go ahead and say, next to David's laptop, we've set up an offering plate, and we announced earlier in the week that we'll take up an offering for them today. So several ways probably can do that. Is there a particular way that you would prefer?
If they wanted to go to our ministry, just write it out to TEAM.
Write it out to TEAM, T-E-A-M. And do you have a number that they need to put on there?
We'll take care of that.
Okay. All right, so you can write it out to TEAM. If you do decide to give cash, put it in an envelope and write the Weaver's name on it. But all of that should go in here, not in the box in the back. Anything you want to give to the Weavers needs to go in this plate here, not in the back. You can write it out to Grace Baptist Church if you want to, but still put it here, and then we'll Dennis has come prepared to write them a check on behalf of the entire church. So want to certainly you to know about that. All right, take your Bibles if you would and turn to Psalm 22. Psalm 22, beginning with verse 1. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from helping me and from the words of my groaning? O my God, I cry in the daytime, but you do not hear, and in the night season, and am not silent. But you are holy, enthroned in the praises of Israel. Our fathers trusted in you. They trusted, and you delivered them. They cried to you, and were delivered. They trusted in you, and were not ashamed. But I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men and despised by the people. All those who seek me ridicule me. They shoot out the lip, they shake the head, saying, He trusted in the Lord. Let him rescue him. Let him deliver him, since he delights in him. But you are he who took me out of the womb. You made me trust while on my mother's breast. I was cast upon you from birth. From my mother's womb you have been my God. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there is none to help. Many bulls have surrounded me. Strong bulls of Bashan have encircled me. They gape at me with their mouths, like a raging and roaring lion. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It has melted within me. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue clings to my jaws. You have brought me to the dust of death. For dogs have surrounded me. The congregation of the wicked has enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. I can count all my bones. They look and stare at me. They divide my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. But you, O Lord, do not be far from me. O my strength, hasten to help me. Deliver me from the sword, my precious life from the power of the dog. Save me from the lion's mouth and from the horns of the wild oxen. You have answered me. I will declare your name to my brethren. In the midst of the assembly I will praise you. You who fear the Lord, praise him. All you descendants of Jacob, glorify him and fear him, all you offspring of Israel. For he has not despised nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted, nor has he hidden his face from him. But when he cried to him, he heard. My praise shall be of you in the great assembly. I will pay my vows before those who fear him. The poor shall eat and be satisfied. Those who seek him will praise the Lord. Let your heart live forever. All the ends of the world shall remember and turn to the Lord. And all the families of the nations shall worship before you. For the kingdom is the Lord's, and he rules over the nations. All the prosperous of the earth shall eat and worship. All those who go down to the dust shall bow before him, even he who cannot keep himself alive. A posterity shall serve him. It will be recounted of the Lord to the next generation. They will come and declare his righteousness to a people who will be born that he has done this.
Are we on?
Good.
All right, I'm going to ask Joy and the kids to come up while I'm introducing, but Just want to say how glad we are to be back with you. It's like being back at a family reunion when we come to see you all. And I'm sorry we don't remember everybody's names, but we remember faces and relationships and things that we talked to you last time about and shared with you and you shared with us. And it's just really special to feel like we have part of God's family, to be part of our family here in this work and in the ministry. And kids, you probably wonder, what is a missionary? What do they do? Well, it's really simple. Jesus said, make disciples. A disciple is somebody who follows Jesus, right? So you do that. And when you make disciples, then they start grouping together and loving each other, like Jesus taught us to love one another. And when you start loving one another, you become a church, like you all are. And then once you become a church and you love each other, and then your love for Jesus keeps growing and growing and growing. And then Jesus says, you know what? I love them too. And they're not here yet. So I want you to go out and find them and tell them about Jesus. And sometimes you go close by and they come to your church. But when you go too far away where they can't come to your church, then you have to start another church. And then sometimes you go so far away that you're in another country, and then you have to learn another language and how they live and learn to eat the things they eat. And when you do that, then you're a missionary. So it's as simple as that. You're just doing just what you're doing right here, but you're doing it somewhere else where other people won't have a chance to hear about Jesus unless we go and tell them. And so Jesus said, go into all the world and make disciples of every nation. And that's what we're doing. And you're part of that because you're part of praying for us and helping us on our way. So we want to talk about that love and what it means to love and concentrate on how we can share the love of Christ and how people will know us by our love. Let me do this. Here we go.
Brothers, let us come together, walking in the Spirit, as those to be done, we will come reaching out from our comforts, and they will know us by our love.
Sisters, we were made for kindness. We can pierce the darkness as He shines through us. We will come reaching with a song of healing, and they will know us by Your love.
The time is now. Come, church, arise. Love with His hands, see with His eyes, bind it around you, let it never leave you, and they will know us by our love.
Children, you are hope for justice. Stand firm in the truth now. Set your hearts above. You will be reaching long after we're gone. And they will know you by your love.
The time is now. Come, church, arise. Love with His hands, see with His eyes, bind it around you, let it never leave you, and they will know us by our love. The time is now, come church, arise. Love with His hands, see with His eyes, bind it around you, let it never leave you, and they will know us by our love,
and they will.
right. It's great to serve together as a family, isn't it? And I'm proud of all our kids. I wish all of them could be with you. This is one third of our family. We have six children. Melody, up until just this month, was helping care for Joy's grandmother, who at almost 101 just passed away October 2nd, I believe it was, or 4th. The day before Ruth's birthday. So she has been doing that, and now she's looking for the next thing that God has for her to do in serving. And Rachel is in South Carolina preparing for missionary service, and she's engaged to a young fellow out there, and we're waiting for all of that to, whatever's going to happen there, I don't know. Both of them are interested in India, and that's a scary thought, but we're prepared for whatever God wants our children to be and do. We're prepared to let them go and do that. But then Rebecca is married to Gunnar Barnett, and he's working with Joy's brother and at the same time a youth pastor at McCullough Bible Church. And they want to minister to families of military families. Gunner's dad was in special forces for until he retired, so he sees a lot of the needs of military families. And so they're preparing to have their first baby, our first grandchild, in April, Lord willing. And so we're looking forward to that. And Daniel is in his third year at Cedarville University. That's a Baptist college up in Ohio. Computer science, website design, techie. He works with Infomedia here in Birmingham while he's home. He's been doing that for 3 or 4 years now. And so he wants to do that. He's met a young lady, and we're seeing if this is the one that God has for him. She wants to be a missionary nurse in Mali, Africa. So her heart's in the right place. We'll just see if she's the right one for him. So that's our family. Ruth is graduating this year and planning to go, I think, to Columbia International University next year. My alma mater and Melody and Rachel both went to Columbia. It's we call it missionary boot camp, but it's missionaries in all the forms of missionary. It's being, you know, world Christians in the business community and in ministry. And so we just love the spirit of the school. And so Paul is in eighth grade now and still singing in the Birmingham Boys Choir. And we just, you're all invited to the free concert, Christmas concert. It's December 11 and 12. They have a concert on the 11th and the same concert on the 12th. It's a free concert. You just have to sign up for tickets. They have a way to do that, and we can tell you how to do that. But it's at the United Methodist Church, Canterbury Methodist Church in Mountain Brook. You're all invited to that. Let's turn in our Bibles. I debated whether to start with the scripture or end with the scripture, but I want to form what I'm going to say about our ministry by sharing with you from the Word of God. Matthew 28. Matthew 28, begin reading at verse 16 through the end of the chapter. Now, especially young people, I want you to realize something. All of these Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, were all written about people. They're stories about people. And I know we get up as pastors and we like to talk about doctrine and teaching and instruction and lessons and applications and everything. But these are stories about real people who really live. And the most special one of all is Jesus, who's God, who became a man and then grew up just like a child, just like you are, grew up and became an adult. And then he walked for 3 years with these 12 men. And then this is the time when he's just getting ready to go back to heaven. And he's in heaven listening to us right now. And he's getting ready to come back and get us to go be with him. And so this is what happened at that last day before he went to heaven. Verse 16 of Matthew 28. Then the 11 disciples, why is there 11, not 12? What happened? One of them dropped away, right? It was Judas, who betrayed Jesus, and then he killed himself because he was so ashamed. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority in heaven has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Let's pray first and ask God to bless His Word. Father, speak to our hearts through Your Spirit, by Your Word, we pray, so that we can do what You ask us to do with our whole hearts. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus chose 12 men to be with Him. Just imagine, He's walking through town one day and He says, "You know what? I want you. Come follow me." And He goes to, "I want you. Come follow me." And He goes to another guy and He says, "I want you to follow me. And you, follow me." And He does that for 12 men. And when they heard "follow me," it wasn't just "come see what I'm doing today." It meant "come and live with me, and everything that I say, I want you to hear, and everything that I do, I want you to watch. I want you to learn to do what I'm doing." It's just like, is there somebody in here? I think there's somebody in here that was working on computers. Who was it? The Daniel's friend? Is he here? Josh, there you are, Josh. And when you are learning computers, did you go to a school to learn computers? Okay, how did you learn computers? By osmosis, just doing it, right? He learned by doing it. Did you have anybody that kind of mentored you and taught you and that you kind of learned from? Yeah, so he had somebody that he learned from so that he became really good at computers. All right? And so Jesus is saying, "I want you to follow me and I want you to become really good at what I do. And I want you to learn from me and be a disciple." That's what a disciple means. Somebody who follows behind somebody else and learns what they do and learns how to do it. It's just like my brother was an electrician's apprentice. Okay? And he was hired by an electrician. He didn't know anything about electricity or wiring or all that stuff, codes and all that thing. But he was hired by this electrician, and everything the electrician did, he watched. And he says, "Why do you do that?" He says, "Because this is 110 and not 220. And okay, and why do you do this?" "Because code says, it's fire code says you can't do it, that we have to have this, whatever." And he learned everything that electrician knew about electricity and wiring and codes and all that. And before you know it, he could wire a building as professionally as an electrician, because he followed after that one. He was a disciple of an electrician and an apprentice. And so Jesus chose His disciples. They followed Jesus. They heard Him preach. They heard Him teach. They saw, what did they see? They saw Jesus go up to a blind man and say, "What do you want me to do for you?" He says, "I want to see." He says, "Okay, there, can you see?" "Yes, I can see." He saw him heal the blind. He saw them, the lame could walk again. And then one time they saw him raise someone from the dead. They were going to go bury this person. And he just touched him and he stood up and gave him back to his mother. And his mother said, "What?" You know. And so they saw all of this. And then they heard what he said, the different messages that he gave, the sermons that he preached. They heard all of this. They saw him cast out demons in people. And we see a lot more demon possession in other parts of the world than we do here. It's not as noticeable here because we don't look for it. But it's around. And he did that. And so they were taught by Jesus. He would teach the crowds, and then afterwards they would be eating lunch, you know, after everybody else had gone away. And the disciples said, "I don't understand what you were saying. When you said this and this and this, you know, a farmer goes out to plant seed and he throws it, and sometimes it hits on this kind of ground and sometimes it hits on that kind of ground. And we don't understand that." He says, "Listen, let me explain it to you. the seed is the Word of God, and you know, the farm, you plant the Word of God in people's hearts, and these different kinds of soil are the different hearts of people. Like, oh, now I get it. And so that's what he did. He taught them privately, and then in public, they watched his ministry. They saw all of that. And then Jesus said, okay, I want you to go out now, and I want you to do just what I've been doing. I want you to go out in the different towns of Israel and do what I've been doing. And I'm going to give you special powers. And you're going to be able to touch people, and they'll be, if they were blind, they'll see. And if they have a demon, they'll be cast out. And they did that. And they went. And the message that I want you to preach is the same one I've been preaching. And so they went out and they practiced. And then they came back and said, but we couldn't cast out the demon. What's the problem? And Jesus said, well, you have to pray. You have to fast. You have to receive power from God. You can't just do it on your own strength. And so, oh, okay. And then he sent them out again. And they did it again. And went out preaching and came back again. And had this practice that they did. And then, after all of that, they watched Jesus be betrayed and put on a cross and die. And 3 days later, he was raised from the dead. And they saw him after he had died alive again. And they saw that. And so it's no wonder that when we come to the scripture, it says, they went to the mountain that Jesus had appointed for them, and when they saw him, they worshipped him. Why did they worship Jesus? Why did they worship Jesus? Because they saw him. They heard him. They believed him. And they worshipped him. They said, this is, the apostle Paul said, you're the Christ. You're the one God was sending to be our deliverer. You're the Christ, the Son of the living God. And so they worshipped him. But look at the next phrase, the very next phrase. What does it say? When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Can you imagine? After all that they'd heard, after all that they had seen, after being given power to do miracles by Jesus, after seeing him die and be raised again from the dead, some doubted. Now, how can that be? Now, how many of you would not doubt if you had been there? Can you raise your hand? How many of you say, I wouldn't have doubted, I would have believed? Go ahead, raise your hand. If you think you would have been, I said they worshipped him. Most of them, would you have worshipped him or would you have doubted? Worship, doubted. Y'all would have been neither. Let's try that again. Okay, how many of you would you think you would have worshipped Jesus at that point after seeing all that stuff? That's what I would think. How many of you think you would doubt at that point? And some of you still think that too. Okay, let's try to figure this out. Because when I read that and say, some doubted, I say, what? Don't you say that in your mind? What? After all of that? If I had been there, I wouldn't have doubted. You know, we're like Peter. Jesus, you know, I would never do that, you know. And he did that. He said, they might do that, but I would never do that. And so we think, I would never doubt. You know what? I don't think they doubted that Jesus was God. I don't think they doubted that Jesus was alive again. I don't think they doubted that Jesus was the Christ that God was sending to deliver them. I don't think they doubted that Jesus had the power and authority of God. He said, all authority is given to me in heaven and in earth. I don't think they doubted that. You know what I think they doubted? Jesus, why did you pick me? Don't you feel that? Why did you pick me to be a missionary in the Philippines? Why did you pick me? That's what I think. It's like, Jesus, you might be smart, you might be wise, you might have all power, but you messed up when you chose me to be your disciple. Because you're putting a lot of responsibility on me, and I don't think I can do it. How many of you think you really can do everything that Jesus wants you to do? Yeah, none of us, right? None of us feel that way. And so I think that's what the doubting is. I think it was self-doubt, not doubting Jesus, but doubting themselves. They had trouble believing, not in him, but in themselves, of what God could make them into. He says, you know, they said, you know what? He could become a really great disciple, but I'm not sure I can become a great disciple. He might become a missionary, but I don't think I could ever be one. You know, they doubt. You don't see any lack in Jesus, but what you see in yourself makes you doubt what He is asking you to do can be done. Let me read that again. You see no lack in Jesus, but what you see in yourself makes you doubt that what He is asking you to do can be done. Jesus said, "Go into all the world and make disciples of all the nations. Baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to obey all the things I have instructed you." Do you think you can do that? Do you think you can do that? Make disciples of all the nations? 11 guys standing there on a mountain, and they said, "I don't think I can do that." How do you think they did? How did it work out in the end? How did it work out with those 11 disciples? Not too bad, right? Not too bad. Before the end of their lifetime, people who were unbelievers were saying, "What? Those people who turned the world upside down have come here too?" And the gospel was preached through their whole world, their whole region, their whole area, before the end of their lifetime. How are we doing? How are we doing? Is the whole world hearing because of us? Are we going into all the world? "Oh, I don't think I can do that. That's too big a job." Guess what? All authority in heaven and in earth has been given to whom? Jesus. And He says, "Therefore, go. Because I have the authority, you can do it. Because I have the authority, you can go." It's not because of us. It's not because of our strength. It's not because of our abilities. I'm a great teacher. I'm a great singer. I'm a great discipler. No. It's because Jesus has the authority and He's giving it to us. And He's saying, "Do it. Do a job for me, and I will provide everything you need to do that job." Whether it's financial resources, whether it's prayer resources, whether it's people coming alongside you to help you do it, I will have everything you need there. And as you go, you're going into a spiritual conflict, and I have given you authority over the spiritual forces that are against you, and you will never be defeated. I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. So that's what Jesus is asking us to do. And even though we doubt, it says, you know, we may doubt, but He's still faithful. And He keeps coming back and helping us out. And, you know, just thinking about our ministry, we started out 25 years ago in the Philippines. Went out during the first Gulf War, and during the war, and then every time there was a war, we were in traveling. Second Gulf War, we're traveling again, and then Afghanistan, we were traveling again, and it seemed like there's always super big inspections and everything of all our baggage and all that because of the war, but when we went out there, God said, "Okay, there you go. I'm sending you to a spiritual graveyard to raise people from the dead. Can you do that?" "I can't do that." "Well, okay, great. Now you can depend on me and I'll help you." And so we started to see little groups of believers come together. And then those groups of believers were formed together into a church. And then that church began to grow. And now that church, I just came back from the Philippines and I was there for their 24th anniversary of that church. And now they have almost 200 people in the church and lots of children. So that church is just going to keep growing, I think, you know. But now that church has helped to start two other churches. And I want to encourage you about that. When you start thinking of, okay, Jesus said, "I want you to have disciples in Jerusalem." This is your Jerusalem. This whole area is your Jerusalem, the local area. And then Judea. Do you have an influence in the greater Birmingham area, greater, you know, what, Bibb County area, whatever? Samaria. Are you reaching out to people who are different from you? Are there a lot of Hispanics around here? Are there a lot of blacks? that are different than you? Are you reaching toward them, loving them? That's your Samaria, different culture within your area. And then the uttermost part of the world. Are any of you thinking, you know, I need to go. I need to be somewhere else in this world. There's another place in the world that will not hear about Jesus unless I go. Do you have that kind of burden? As a church, are you saying, you know what? And we won't have people go until we support that work somehow. And we won't support that work until we have a prayer burden for them. And so you've begun with prayer. And you start by praying for people who are in different places of the world. And then you start saying, you know what? That person has a need. We can meet that need. Let's help. And by the way, thanks for all the clothing. This week, it's not too late if you still want to send some clothing to the Philippines for Christmas. They just had a big typhoon in the northern part of the Philippines. And I'll tell you what will happen. People from our church will give up their clothing to send to those people up there that have nothing. And so our people will have nothing. And so if we can send some clothing out to them by Christmas time, they'll recover what they gave away, because I know they're going to give their stuff away. That's what they've always done whenever there's a typhoon. And so so this next week we'll be sending out some boxes. And if you want to help with that, with the shipping or with clothing, some of you have already helped with that. And I really thank God for that. But we especially need children's clothing and young ladies' blouses and skirts. Okay, so that's two things we still don't have that we'd love to send more of. But that's how you get involved as a church. And let me explain a little bit what we're doing right now. We got up to where we are now. I went out to the Philippines. I just want to paint a picture for you so you can visualize what I do each time I go. It's 2 weeks long, over two weekends, so that I can do church ministry in two different places plus the teaching ministry. And right now we have 12 churches that have been started. 11 churches that have been started. 10 of them are being pastored now by guys that we helped to train, our disciples, our 11. Okay? And then these churches are starting to start new churches. They're always looking out for their neighbor town. It's like, these people live too far away. They're not going to come to our church. We're going to start a church there. And so they go to those churches. And it's not just like one church starting that church. It's this church and this church will gang up together and they'll start a church over here. And then these three churches over here will start a church over here. And they just send workers each week. Well, these workers have to travel by public transportation. They don't have their own cars. Until our church was about 20 years old, nobody in the church had a vehicle of any kind. Nobody. Imagine 150 people coming to church and nobody has a car. Because in the Philippines, they have public transportation that goes everywhere. So you can hop on a bus or you can hop on a jeepney. A jeepney, imagine an army jeep, and then extend the back end and put bench seats in so it seats about 16 people, and they climb in the back and they sit down and pass their money up to the driver, and then the driver goes back and forth on the same road, and then they can go as far as that he goes on that road and then get off that jeep, and then they either walk the rest of the way or they get on a different jeep and then go the other way and then get off that jeep, and then when they get really close they might get on a trike. Can you imagine a motorcycle with a sidecar, and it has a roof over it because it rains a lot in the Philippines. Every day for 6 months it rains, you know, so they have a roof over it. So you have this motorcycle with a roof over the top and then a seat on the side with a wheel over here, and you can fit, oh, maybe 9 or 10 people. Two Americans, maybe, okay? But 9 or 10 Filipinos can cram into this space, you know? And then he'll drive you to where you want to go and just take you right to the church door. Or you can get on a tri-bike. And a tri-bike is the same thing with take a big bicycle. Can you imagine a big bicycle with the big wheels, right? Okay, you take a bicycle and you attach a sidecar to it with another wheel over here. Okay, and it will seat 1.5 people. Okay, but they 5 or 6, you know, get Filipinos. And then the guy pedals. And you know what the gas mileage of these is? He gets about 3 miles per kilo of rice. I mean, you know, he has to eat. you give him 10 pesos or 20 pesos, you know, that's what, 20 cents, you know, 30 cents, and he'll take you to where you want to go within the town, just in the flat area within the town. So that's how they get to where they want to go. Well, can you imagine? If you're going to that town way over there, you might have to ride a bus, and then a jeep, and then a trike, or a bus, and then a jeep, and then another jeep, and then a tri-bike. And every time you do it, you have to pay money. Well, these church planters don't have any money. They're just scraping by to help with their own church. And none of our churches can afford to support their pastor full-time. All of our pastors have to do some kind of side work or whatever because they're too poor to support their pastors and to still do ministry and to maybe hopefully have a building someday. And so these guys said, I asked a guy, he is starting a church in another town. I said, how much does it cost you to go back and forth? And he says, about 200 to 300 pesos. 240 pesos, he said, round trip, one way. Okay, so 240 pesos, and that's $5, okay, which is huge for them. Most Filipinos don't earn 200 pesos in a day, okay? So 240 pesos to go there once back and forth. He says, I can do that once a week if I'm careful with my finances. So we said, you know, if the month has 5 weeks in it, that's 1,000 pesos almost, okay? So he said, I would like to buy a motorcycle. But to buy a motorcycle, I have to have a down payment first, and I can't afford it. And then the payments every month are really high. And then by the time I finish paying it off after 3 years, it's cost me double of what the motorcycle originally cost. And I thought, you know what? If we could just afford to buy motorcycles and then let them pay us back, we wouldn't have to charge interest. They wouldn't have to have a down payment. They could pay less and still be in the ministry spending their money on the motorcycle instead of this back and forth paying the pamasahe, the public transportation. And so we prayed about that, and God provided. And this last trip, I was able to get 4 motorcycles and give them to these church planters. And the neat thing about this is that as they pay this back, the money builds up, and then we have enough to buy another motorcycle, and we can keep doing this and buy these motorcycles. And we found a Suki, which is we got a good relationship with a seller, and he's giving the guy that's administrating the program, he gives him a discounted price, like a commission on sales. So whenever he buys a motorcycle for this, he gets like 1,000 pesos from this dealer. So that helps support this pastor who's doing this administration of this program. And then we sell the motorcycles to the workers, and they pay them back little by little over 3 years. And then that saves them the money from having to do public transportation. So it's a win-win for us in the ministry, and it's going to keep going and growing so that all of these workers can have their own transportation to ministry. So that was just one cool victory. And I got to the Philippines, and I get on a bus for 5 hours, and I get off at our town, and I go to the church, and the pastor and his wife have made a little prophet's chamber for me behind the church. There's a little building behind the church where we train people, but upstairs there's a little room, and the room is about the size of the sound room back here, whatever, the nursery, is that nursery area back there? It's about the size of that room, a little bit bigger, and when you walk in, cement floor, cinder block walls, and they'll have a bed and a table and a fan. Got to have a fan, okay? Oh. Because if you can imagine the hottest day here in Alabama, that's what it is usually in the Philippines, okay? And during rainy season, it's hot and humid. It's like 80 or 90% humidity until it rains in the afternoon. And I was there during rainy season, okay, which is also dengue season, which the mosquito bites get you and you get a fever, and that's no good. Okay, but so we were praying about that, and God didn't let me get dengue fever this time. I'm in this room, and the windows don't have any screens on them, so lots of mosquitoes come in if they want to. And then the ceiling is just rafters. You can see the rafters, and then steel corrugated roofing, metal roofing, okay? So when it rains, oh, I love it when it rains. It rains so hard that you cannot carry on a conversation with somebody right next to you. It is just so loud. It's just like a fire hose just pouring out on top of that roof. And later on, if you watch that video, right after the video, you'll hear the rain on the tin roof. It's really cool. Okay, but here I am in here, and when I sit down on the bed, the birds come in through the eaves. Because the eaves are open, you know, they don't have it all closed off. So the birds come in and they have nests up there in the rafters and everything, and they're flying around inside the hot roost, and then they go out. And then you have the boudiques, which are lizards that crawl on the walls, and they eat the mosquitoes, and we love them. And so that's my room. And they've done so much. This is the best that they could provide for me. It's a wonderful room in relation to what a lot of them have, because I actually have a toilet. And I have a shower. I mean, oh, I love the shower, because my first experience in a Filipino home, I actually used a bucket for my bath, because they use a bucket like this and do a bath, like a bucket bath. And the bucket that I used, I didn't realize was their bedpan. So that's where they go to the bathroom at night when they don't want to go to the bathroom, right? Okay, so I had used that bucket to take my shower with. Okay, so anyway, so I was there in this room, and then that night we got on another bus and rode all through the night through the mountains up through the big switchback mountains and everything to this other place where there's three churches that are asking for help from us. And so we sleep on the bus, and you sleep on the bus, and the seats on the bus are like this. There's your seat right there, okay? And there's a person in the front, and there's a person behind you, and you have two or three people, you know, one on either side of you, and you're sitting like this with your backpack in front of you, and you just kind of sleep, okay? And that's how we do until we get up into the mountains, and then we get there in the morning, and they say, oh, good, you're here in time to do everything, right? So we arrive, and there's no time to rest. You get off the bus, and you go right to the church, and you start teaching. And you teach all day and all afternoon, and it's hot. Okay, they got fans, and right in the middle while you're teaching, the electricity goes off. We call them brownouts. Here it's blackouts. Okay, but no electricity, no fan, and so you're teaching and it's hot, and you get all done teaching. They have lunch, and then we teach again, and then we have supper, and then we teach again, and everybody goes home, and I'm right there at the church. And so they roll out some mats on the floor, you know, a little mattress about this thin on the concrete floor, and that's where we sleep. And the next morning we roll up our mats and we teach again all morning and all afternoon and all night into the evening, and then people go home and we sleep again. And we do that for 3 days and preach there on Sunday. And then Sunday after church, they say, oh, can you come visit this guy that we want to win to the Lord? And so we go and visit him and talk to him. And can you visit with these elders who want to figure out what do we do about our church that needs a new pastor? And so we talk to them about their problems. And then in the evening, we get back on the bus. And we ride back the bus all the way back down the mountain again, 8 hours, get back to Mangaldan, to our church. And then the next morning, the pastor says, well, we've got all of these Bible studies from the people that the government is paying these people to come to our Bible studies. It's incredible because they want the people that are the poorest of the poor, who have no resources, no housing. They want them to be able to be lifted up and to have to be able to earn a living. And so they said, how can we help these people? And so they said, if they will come to Bible studies taught by whatever pastor wants a Bible study, they can have it. As long as they come faithfully to your Bible studies, then we will give them money at the end of the month. And so they keep attendance and everything, and everybody shows up because they want their money at the end of the month. But they're hearing the Word of God all month long. And we have 350 families that we do these Bible studies with. And what a blessing. It's like they would never come to church. But now they're saying, hey, we want the government to give us our money, so we'll come to the study. And so they do that. And we don't, only one person in the family has to attend, so it's not like huge. But still, a mother or a father or an older brother or sister comes to these Bible studies. And so we have 350 families who are being touched by these. So we have three a day, three in the morning and three in the afternoon. And then Tuesday, three in the morning and three in the afternoon. And then in the evening, we have youth leadership seminars. And so we have 3 hours of teaching in the evening with youth and how to be disciples, how to make disciples, and how to transfer that on down to the next generation. So we do all of that, and that's just Tuesday. So So then we keep doing that throughout the week. And then Thursday, Friday, I go to a seminar where I teach. Oh, this is the first. This is really cool. This is really cool because I got to this. We're going to this church, and we're going to have all these churches, leaders from all these churches coming to learn how to do church planting, how to start new churches. And when they come, when I get there, I realize it's a building like this. It's about this size, and they have all the windows closed. And I thought, oh no, it's going to be hot in here. And then I hear a noise. What's the noise you're hearing? They had air conditioning in this church in the Philippines. It is the first church that I've ever been in the Philippines, in the province, that has had air conditioning. And I was so happy because I got to teach all day in an air-conditioned church just like this, and it was so nice. But they want us to come back and teach them more about how to start churches. And this was a whole other denomination. It's not even the group we're working with. It's just another group that's heard about what we're doing and says, hey, you guys keep multiplying and you keep having more workers than you need and you keep exporting workers to another island and another place and up into the mountains. And how do you do that? And we want to know how because we're struggling. And so we're helping them. And so that was my trip. And then I bust back down to Manila 5 hours, and then I meet with 3 or 4 people in Manila and then get on the plane and come home. And then the work keeps going on. They're still doing it right now. They're meeting. They've already met because it's actually right now it's Sunday evening their time. And so that's how we do our ministry. So what's your part in all of this? You know, God, Jesus said, I want you. And he points to each of us, right? And he says, I want you to make disciples in all the nations. You say, how can I do that? I can only be at one place at a time. Well, this is how you do it. Pray for us. Pray for us. While you're doing ministry right here, you see, I can't be here while I'm there, right? But while you're here, you can be praying for me there. While I'm there, I can be praying for you here. So I can be making disciples in Green Pond while you're making disciples in the Philippines. Isn't that neat? By prayer. By finding out what it is that we need prayer about and pray with us about it. And if you want to pray with us, talk to Joy and give her your email address, and we'll get you signed up so that you get our email updates. All right? And the way we do it, we have a blog. Rebecca keeps our blog for us. And instead of you having to go to the blog online all the time, you just will get an invite in your inbox, in your email box. And if you just hit accept to that email invite, then she will automatically send the email from the blog to your email. And so you don't have to do anything after that except pray. You know, you don't have to do anything. You'll get the letters. And we also have a snail mail, but we discourage you from using that if you have email because it costs money, you know, and if you want to do it for free, just getting the email instead of the snail mail is actually like supporting us, you know. So that's the first thing, pray. The second thing, of course, is what you're doing, like helping us with the clothing, helping us with the shipping for these packages. You know, regular support would be welcome. We just lost one of our greatest supporters. Joy's grandmother was supporting us right up until she died. In fact, we just found out that she actually supported us through the end of the year after she's gone. But, you know, we're always kind of losing older people and then needing to gain more new people to support us in the work. And so if you're burdened about our ministry and want to support us regularly, we would really welcome that. And then you can go. You know, I was a young child, 9 or 10 years old. How many of you are 10 years old, 10 to 15 years old? How many of you are 10 to 15 years old? Okay, that's how old I was when God spoke to my heart about being a missionary. And somebody said to me, you know, 20 years from now, I won't be able to do what I'm doing right now. Who's going to take my place? And God spoke to my heart and said, you know what? You need to be that one. And so, you know, you're not too young to start thinking about that. Does God want me to go? Where does He want me to go? What does He want me to do? That's how you raise up a generation of missionaries in your family, in your church, church family. So how do we make disciples, kids? How do we do it? We follow Jesus. We do what Jesus tells us to do. And then we teach other people to love Jesus. And we teach them to follow Jesus and to do what he teaches them to do. And when you have enough of them, you have a church. And when you have enough in your church, you start sending them outside to do it outside the church. And when you have enough of that, you send them somewhere else in the world. And that's what I hope God will do for you in your church.